It is written that there is a silence where the soul can meet its God. And we are told that all who enter this silence are immersed in light and filled with love and wisdom and power. This silence is within each one of us. It's at the center of our being. And what this means for us individually and in a very personal manner is that we soon discover what the mystic discovered thousands of years ago when he said that God is in this place and I knew it not. This morning we can remind ourselves that God is not only the source, but the very substance of health and the activity of peace and wisdom and understanding. And it is here and now, in this silence, that we can remind ourselves that nothing we ever do can separate us from this presence. This forever saying, be not afraid, I am with you always. And it is here, in this very silence that lies deep within each one of us, that one day we will feel a voice as if to say, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is yours. Just be still. Be still and know. And I say to you this morning that there is no greater blessing than the experience of this voice. And so it is that this morning we have an opportunity to abide in this silence and to acknowledge this holy and sacred presence that is in the midst of all of us. And to help us with this realization and to better understand the immediacy of this presence, let us turn to the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. After we share this statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Thank you.
this time I would like to ask our ushers to please come forward for the offertory. Father, for the gift of life, and for the love in which we freely share of this life with one another, for this blessing, O most gracious God, I give you thanks. Amen. Thank you. That song reminded me of a little story. I didn't know you were going to sing that. But there is a general belief among many people that the devil has a purpose in life. And that purpose is to deny the existence of God. That's his only purpose. I believe, and many people believe that. I don't. Anyhow, years ago, there was a little old lady who would step outside of her home every morning, and she would raise her arms towards the sky and say, "Praise be to God." For years, she would do this every morning. One day, an atheist moved next door. And eventually, he became irritated, this little old lady. So he began stepping outside also, yelling, "There is no God." They carried on this way for months. They never spoke to one another, except in the mornings. One morning, in the middle of winter, the little old lady stepped outside as usual and shouted, "Please, God, I have no food, and I am hungry. Please provide for me, God." And as usual, the atheist yelled back, "There is no God." The next morning, she stepped outside, and there were three huge bags of groceries sitting there. "Praise be to God," the little old lady said. "You have provided groceries for me." The atheist was waiting for her. And he yelled, "There is no God. I bought those groceries for you." Instantly, the little old lady shouted, "God, you have provided groceries for me. And you made the devil pay for them." About 20 days ago, for about 2,000 years, we have celebrated the birth of a man. And ever since the death of that man, millions of people are waiting for him to return in the belief that once he gets here, not only will he bring peace on earth, but heal the sick and feed the hungry. But what they seem to forget is that if he did not do this the first time around, why should he do it the second time? But that's almost besides the point. Because what millions of Christians all over the world fail to understand is that it is not Jesus who they're waiting for, but the one who heals the sick and feeds the hungry and forgives the sinner. And that wasn't the man Jesus, but the Holy One in the midst of him. And that Holy One has never left. It indwells every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. It's in you and it's in me, even as we sit here this morning, constantly knocking at the door of our consciousness, asking to be let in. As if to say, "I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come unto him and be with him, and he with me." And it is in the stillness of our own minds, in that silence that we talked about earlier, it is here that we begin to hear that faint knock taken place in the midst of us. But when we look at the religious world in which we find ourselves at the moment,
we begin to realize that there are very few who actually know about the Holy One, the Christ, the Spirit of God in the midst of us. They know a lot about the man Jesus, but not about the Christ. And for you, those of you who are here, or rather new to the teaching of divine science, perhaps some of you are here for the first time. It is here where divine science differs from many other religions. Many others. Divine science teaches that it wasn't the man Jesus who healed anyone, but the Christ in him that did the works. He went so far as to say, I of myself can do nothing. Nothing. It is the Father within that doeth the works. Now, when people pray, they really do not pray to God. For generally speaking, people have no God. They have an idea about God. They have a concept of God. But a concept is not God. And that is who they are praying to. The atheist was right. There is no God. However, from the very beginning, before the world was, the breath of the Almighty has given life to all things. What this means is that there is but one life, the breath of the Almighty. The life in you and the life in every tree in the forest and in every fish in the ocean and in every bird in the sky. These are not separate lives. There is but one life manifesting through a multitude of forms. And so it is that I would like to believe that divine science, that because of its teachings, not only of divine science, but other teachings not unlike divine science, we are discovering that consciousness is the instrument through which the breath of the Almighty is made manifest. That it may be on earth as it is in heaven. As a matter of fact, even as we sit here this morning, right now, you and I are bringing forth the breath of the Almighty into manifestation, but not this spirit in its pure and perfect state, but molded and shaped and formed according to individual consciousness. Molded, shaped, and formed after its kind. Think of a cookie cutter. Cookie cutters come in all shapes and sizes. Stars, rectangles, squares, circles. Your cookies are never going to change until you change that cookie cutter. And so it is. The similarities are so identical. Consciousness and the cookie cutter. Right now we are in the early days of a new year. And whether it's going to be a new year or a repeat of last year is totally up to each one of us. Because your tomorrows are predetermined by what it is that we choose to behold today. In other words, tomorrow and the day after and the day after that and on and on and on are simply extensions of this moment. So, if you are at all concerned about your future, don't even think about it. Your concern should be that cookie cutter that is in your hands this morning. In other words, your concern should be with the activity taking place within you this very moment. Jesus himself said, everything that you have said in the dark within ourselves. You know those conversations that we have within ourselves that nobody knows about? He said these conversations will eventually be seen in broad daylight. Direct quote, what you have whispered in closets Nothing is hidden that shall not be shouted from the rooftops. And so it is that when we think on these very basic metaphysical principles, you will begin to see that a life of suffering or a life of happiness, a life of health or a life of disease, contrary to popular beliefs, these are all self-imposed conditions. As in mind, so in manifestation. We all know the story of the prodigal son. We're told that he chose to leave his father's house. Metaphysically, a house is a state of consciousness. The father's house is a consciousness of pure spirit. The story tells us that when the son decided to return to the father's house, all that the father had was his. Now, this return to the father's house is not a matter of packing up your suitcase and going anywhere. It's not a matter of moving from one country to another country or from one religion to another religion. It is a return to that state of consciousness that is too pure to behold iniquity of any kind. But there is a caveat. There's always a catch to everything. What's that saying? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Because this consciousness, it is a state that cannot be known with our present states of minds. This mind cannot know heaven. This mind cannot enter the promised land. This mind cannot know truth. May know something about the promised land. We may know something about heaven and about truth, but it does not know those states. Paul reminded us when he said that the ordinary human being cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they can only be spiritually discerned. So what to do? I don't know how many of you remember something that Dean Martin, the entertainer, once said. He said that if he knew he was going to live as long as he did, he would have taken better care of himself. I wonder how many of us have had the same thought. Not only about our states of health, but about our retirements, our savings accounts, those relationships that we perhaps sort of paid better attention to. Many people have the feeling that they are not in charge of their lives. There's something separate and apart from them is what is in charge, like the calendar. You're not in charge of the calendar. You cannot stop the aging process or the weather. You're going to do something about the weather? No, you can't. The weather is always in charge. It's got a mind of its own. What about the food we eat? These are the things that many people consider are in charge of their lives. So what do we do at a very personal level? Do we grin and bear it? Do we suffer in silence? Should we blame God? Or that significant other in our lives? Should we blame the family into which we were born? One day, Jesus saw his disciples spend an entire evening trying to catch fish without success. But then he said to them, why not try fishing on the other side of the boat? Sounds silly, doesn't it? If you're not catching anything on one side of the boat, why try the other side? But that's what he said. What he meant was, try something different right where you are. In other words, stop doing what you've been doing most of your life. Do something different. Right where you are. There were people, and we know some of them, who hurt so badly, who were so lonely and so scared that they will follow almost anyone or anything anywhere just to escape. I've often said from this sanctuary many times that there are people who go to church every day of the week and twice on Sunday, not because they're religious and not because they're trying to find God, but because they found a place to escape. I've often said so many times that there are such things as people as voracious readers who are admired and respected because of their little patterns. But so many times reading is also an escape. Work is an escape. Even talking is an escape. As a matter of fact, just yesterday around noon, we were having lunch at a particular restaurant. And there was a lady, there was three ladies as a matter of fact, sitting in a booth right next to us. But there was one lady in that booth who talked and talked and talked. I don't know whether she ever ate or not. She just wouldn't shut up. She talked constantly. Khalil Gibran writes in his little book, The Prophet, that people talk to escape their own thoughts. The internet is an escape. You know those little phones that we carry around with us? They are the masters of our lives because it rings and we immediately turn to it and answer. Now, none of these practices are bad in and of themselves because it doesn't matter what we do. What matters is the consciousness in which we do it. What I'm trying to say is that the entire teaching of divine science is actually based on the principle, on the one God principle. The one God and the one power principle. But it is not enough to accept this truth as a spiritual reality, but that we apply it out here in the world. Why? Because as we try to remind ourselves almost on a daily basis, if not in the sanctuary, on a weekly basis, that consciousness is the instrument through which we determine the quality and the quantity of our experiences. In the one God and one power principle, it isn't the food that we eat that makes us sick, but the consciousness in which we eat it, the beliefs that we have concerning the food we eat. People have no power over any of us to upset us. It's the consciousness in which we deal with people that upsets us. I would like to think that we all are aware that most parents will provide a home for the child long before the child is born. We too have a father that has provided for us. Our Father, which is in heaven, has already established our good. Whatever that good is for any of us. Health, peace of mind, companionship, supply. It's all there for the taking in the Father's house. Now, I know that many of us have made mistakes. I have. We all have. We've hurt people either intentionally or otherwise. Some of us have taken things that do not belong to us. But let me tell you, it really doesn't matter what you have done or failed to do. And it really doesn't matter what it is that others have done or failed to do to you. None of this matters. The promise is that where the Spirit of God is in that consciousness, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Though thy sins may be as scarlet, in this consciousness they shall be made white as snow. I know just as well as you do that it is not easy to live in a world where we are bombarded with all kinds of appearances. Appearances that tempt us to react one way or another. And yet, detachment is the key. Detachment is the key of your freedom. It has been said so many times that a first step, the beginning step of taking charge of our lives, is to become emotionally detached and mentally indifferent to all of the experiences and appearances that come to us. Remember Moses parting the sea and walking through dry land? We all can do that. Again, not by power nor by might. Here it is again. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. Everything goes back to the spirit. But there is no spirit unless we become consciously aware of it. It is the Father within, the Christ in you and in me, that lifts our consciousness, that gives us peace, and that forgives the sin. No man, no therapist, no counselor can do this for you. Everything that has ever happened to us is directly related to the activities that are taking place within our own minds. It will be added unto you according to your heart. Our emotional thoughts, which is where the mystics said thousands of years ago, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Have you ever found yourself in an emotional storm? An emotional upsetness within you that you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't even think? Or maybe it's a financial storm. Or maybe it's a relationship storm. How to calm these storms? There's a story in Scripture about a group of men who were caught. They were out in a boat in the middle of a sea, and they were caught in a terrible storm. But among those men, there was another man who had been practicing the principle of the one God and the one power. And this man said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And it became still. I'm saying to you this morning that whatever it is that you are going through right now, that man that calms every storm, that man is in you. But it isn't a man. It is a knock at the door of your consciousness saying, "Be not afraid. I am with you always." Here is the lesson for today. When you find yourself running scared, face to face with a devastating condition, right there, right where you are, change the focus of your attention. Try fishing on the other side of the boat. Remind yourself that my Father, which is in heaven, is here and now, in the midst of me, in that silence that we've been talking about, with all of its love and all of its wisdom and all of its power, saying, "Be still. Just be still. And know that I am God." There is nothing to say but to abide in that silence where your soul can meet its God. For the promise that has been given unto us and unto our children is simply this: though you may find yourself walking through the valley of death, the shadow of death, or perhaps it's the valley of lack and limitation, or the valley of fear, loneliness, disease,
Never forget the statement, though you make your bed in hell, behold, God is there. What I am saying to you this morning is that at this very moment, even as you sit in this sanctuary, you are determining your future. You are determining your states of health, the harmony in your home, the happiness, and the peace of mind in you by what you choose to behold in consciousness. So why not choose to be well? Why not choose to be at peace? Why not choose to abide in that silence? This is the beginning of a new year. So keep in mind in the coming days and even in the years that are to come that God is not going to do to you or for you today that He did not already do in the beginning. And I do believe that that's one of the reasons why so many prayers go unanswered. Because people are waiting for God to do for them what He has already equipped to do for yourselves. You're not here to make sick people well or poor people rich. We are here to sit by the door of the secret place of the Most High. And wait for that still small voice to say, I am with you always. And on that day, somewhere and somehow, you will feel a presence as if to say, I am come into your consciousness. That you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. So we make this lesson practical. Would you join me for a few moments of stillness and quietness? Try taking no thoughts on what you're going to do in the next hour, this afternoon, or tonight, or next week, or next month. Just be still. Take no thoughts. And know that God is here. Right where you are. Yes, the full and complete Spirit of God is with you and in you and all about you, saying, turn to me. Turn. The blessing of this awareness, for the realization of this Holy One in our midst, for this O most wondrous God, I give you thanks. Amen. And may the Spirit of God in the midst of you bless you and keep you.
May it shine its love upon you and be gracious unto you. For it lifts your consciousness and gives you peace. Amen.